Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. Have you noticed that there's more and more men, especially young men, many of them, most of them, I think, are single, that are returning to church? They're showing up in bigger numbers now. They're entering into RCIA or any kind of convert program, convert instructions. They're reverts, in other words, they're returning because they may have been born and raised Catholic but fell away. They're beginning to populate more and more the church, East and West, at least in the Western world, in America, because the reason I know that is because I'm a pastor, I see it and experience it myself, but also when talking to my brother priests and even bishops, they're noticing it as well. It's like an interesting phenomenon. It's a very hopeful one, but a curious one. And the reason I say curious is because for so long, and oftentimes in certain cultures for many, many years, it has been where the men were less populating the church than the women. In other words, it seemed like it was harder for men to attend church, to feel comfortable in church. It was almost like it was for women and children. And there are certain cultures where that's actually more prevalent than others. But in America, certainly, there has been a problem with not having the men in church, at least not in the numbers we should have. Again, it was seen kind of like, well, church is like for women and kids, and men somehow, for whatever reasons, were kind of shy about going to church. It just didn't resonate with them like it should. Not all men, of course, but especially in recent decades in our churches, East and West, it was very much the case where it was the men who had a harder time coming to church. And many times it's assumed that, well, men just aren't as spiritual by nature as women. Well, that's true to a certain extent. However, I would say this, that men and women come at spirituality in different ways. Now, the women do so in a way that is very obvious. The men do so in a way that maybe is not so obvious, and it takes a little bit more for them to come to what you might call spirituality in the life of the church. But that is changing, and it's very interesting and encouraging, but we have to look at why. And a lot of this change is happening even in the Eastern churches. There are a number of men that I've talked to that have come to me for counsel, because they say that I'm Latin Rite Catholic, but I'm thinking of becoming Orthodox. I'm looking at the Eastern churches. Now, I'm glad they come to me because many of these men that do this, and it is kind of a phenomenon, it is happening with a certain frequency. A lot of young men are jumping over to the Orthodox Church, and I'm not making a judgment on that. However, many of them also still want to remain in the Catholic Church. They don't want to break with the Catholic Church, because if you go to the Orthodox Church, you're breaking with the Catholic Church. Again, I'm not judging the Orthodox Church or judging someone's decision. I'm simply speaking factually. And many of these Latin Rite men, these Catholic men, don't want to break. Some of them may not understand that they're breaking. Some of them may not really think it's that big a deal because they're in search of something. They're yearning for something. So some of them have fortunately come to me. The reason why I say fortunately is because I'm glad that they at least know about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that it is another choice for worship, for spirituality, that keeps you still in the church, still in communion with Rome. That's part of the beauty of the having the different rites of the church, East and West. I'm glad they do come to me in their discernment to sort things out. Not all of them do. But why are they coming to the Eastern churches? Again, not all of them. They're coming to the Latin Rite Church as well, which I'm thrilled about as well. But at the same time, we are noticing a number of them coming to the Eastern churches. Once they learn about it, most of them know about Orthodoxy. Most people who are Catholic, they know about the Orthodox Church. They don't maybe know a lot about it, but they know basically it exists and that it's different and so on. But those same Catholics don't know, they're not as familiar with the Eastern Catholic churches, which are right under their nose, right in the same family. So a lot of these men will choose Orthodoxy only because they don't know about the Eastern Catholic churches, which is part of the reason I host this program. And in obedience to St. John Paul II and also the current Pope, Pope Leo XIV, because they both have said that the whole church has to learn more about the Eastern Catholic churches, and that's what I'm all about here. So I'm glad you're listening. Well, when we look at these men coming to the Eastern churches in particular, the question is, and we pastors ask ourselves, well, why? Not that we don't think they should, or that we're totally mystified. It's just that it's like a trend. It's something that's happening now when for so long it wasn't happening. So why is it happening? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to look at a few things. We have to look at, first, manhood. What is it that men seek? What is the DNA of manhood? How are men hardwired? And for this, we have to reach into a little bit of St. John Paul II's great wisdom on the whole world of complementarity of man and woman, expressed especially through his voluminous teaching on the theology of the body. It has become known as the theology of the body. In other words, it's a way of looking at manhood and womanhood in a mystical way. In other words, why are we man and woman in relation to God? God made us male and female, and he made us in his image and likeness, but as male and female. So there has to be a way that manhood reflects the image and likeness of God by virtue of manhood, just as there is with womanhood. And this is a very, very crucial thing for us to learn about, because it's a key factor in whether a marriage will be happy and long-lasting or not. I do a lot of counseling. I have a degree in counseling, so I am a trained counselor. And after all my years of experience in the priesthood, I have dealt with many, many married couples. I still do. And families, even single people, of course, too. Or young people, children, whatever. I counsel anybody. But I do a lot of marriage and family counseling, especially these days, because the way the world is, people are very hurt in these areas. And I always tell a couple that comes to me, there's basically two pillars upon which marriage rests. Spirituality, which is number one. That's kind of an overarching one. Where is our spirituality? Now, that may seem a little bit pious or superficial, but it's actually very concrete and very, very important. Second to that is for the man and the woman, the husband and wife, to understand each other better as man and woman. In other words, what does she need as a woman from him? What does he need as a man from her? This is what John Paul II said. In fact, he said that the whole well-being of humanity would depend upon whether we understand and know the answer to that question. Who will man be for woman and woman for man? When there's difficulties happening in marriage, it's in either of those two pillars or both. They kind of work together. The spirituality is going bad or not what it should be. And related to that is the lack of understanding between the couple and on each one's part of who the other one is as man and woman, and therefore what their needs are. And marriage is all about meeting the respective needs of each other, not only as persons, but as man and woman. In other words, specific needs to man, specific needs to womanhood. That's complementarity. God made it that way. Remember, when he created woman, he did so because he wanted man to have a quote-unquote, suitable companion, which means that she must have something that he needs. And conversely, he has something that she needs. And that's how marriage is supposed to work. We just have to understand what those needs are and learn how to meet them in one another. So what is it that men look for? How are they hardwired? This will give us some of the answer between why there is this phenomenon of men returning to church. Again, I'm curious about it. We're all curious about it, not because there's something wrong, but because there's something right about it that we've been waiting for a long time. And now it's starting to happen. Well, a few things about men. Men live in a sort of hierarchy. They like to see order of things. By hierarchy, I mean this is the boss. This is the one in charge. This is the top dog. This is the one who has the authority. And then there's that one under him, and that one under him or her, and et cetera, all the way down the line. Hierarchy. Think of it as a vertical kind of view. And men like to know where they stand, where everybody stands in that hierarchy. And men are hardwired to not only want to know that, to see it, but to adhere to it and make sure everybody else does as well. So they look for a definite sense of hierarchy. Who is in charge? Who is the one that is honored? Who is the one that is respected? And in the Eastern churches, there is a very strong sense of that. Now, when I point out these things from the Eastern churches, I am in no way saying they don't exist in the West. It's just that I'm explaining how they exist in the East because we're trying to find out what draws men today to the Eastern churches. So that's what we're looking at more specifically. So hierarchy is, first of all, we're talking about hierarchy. And that's very clear in the Eastern churches. We have a definite sense of hierarchy in the liturgy, the iconography. There's even a rite of preparation of the gifts before the liturgy begins, in which we actually cut the bread to prepare the bread, and we do so by putting it on a discos. It'll be eventually consecrated, but we do so by mentioning hierarchy. We start with the Blessed Mother, then the angels in heaven, and then the prophets and the apostles. There's nine levels of hierarchy, and then below that, we remember those who are deceased and those who are living, too. And then finally, the priest puts a little particle in the discos for himself. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this idea of what is it that is drawing men to the church, East and West, but in particular to the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com, and then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright.
I'm Bishop Robert Pipta of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, and you are listening to our very own Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every weekday morning, including Saturdays, on Facebook, Father Loya talks about everyday issues through the perspective of Byzantine Catholicism. For example,
we've been talking for the last several days about how divided we are as a nation, marriages, nations within America, and so on. Such a divided country. And we said because one of the reasons is we've forgotten how to communicate and communicate as persons.
Then, on Wednesdays, Father Tom's alter ego, Southside Joe, gives his everyman Southside Chicago Byzantine Catholic perspective on what may be concerning you.
Hey, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? I get to get my 2 cents in, whether you like it or not. You know, the priest's been talking about communication, especially about getting the message. Make sure you get the message from the person. Check in with them. Make sure you got it right.
Visit the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish Facebook homepage every morning for just another way to think about things.
You know, I love being a Byzantine Catholic.
The Tabor Life Institute, which is dedicated to the formation and education in the theology of the body. To find out more about the Tabor Life Institute, you can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Especially if you're interested in conferences and retreats,
in particular for youth, young adults, and also for those of you who speak Spanish. That's taborlife.org.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host, and we're searching through this phenomenon, this really encouraging phenomenon of men, especially young men, most of them are single, not all, that are returning to the church and becoming more active in church again, and how the church, East and West, especially in America, has longed for this to happen. And I'm speaking about how it's happening and why it might be happening in the Eastern churches. So our first characteristic of manhood, because that's what we have to understand first, what is it that attracts men? How are they hardwired? We said hierarchy, a sense of verticality, of hierarchy. Secondly, what attracts men is a very obvious singular purpose. That's why men don't like what's commonly called chick flicks. In other words, films that have a lot to do with romance. They don't mind a little bit in there, but they don't like the whole movie being about that. Men like films, for example, that we might call are more violent. But it's not because men like violence, not because of that at all. Why is there violence in movies? There's violence in movies because it's a battle between the good guy and the bad guy. And men are prone to want to see something accomplished. In other words, justice served, the order preserved, righteousness wins and is protected. That's why men like the kind of movies they do, which generally include some violence or fighting or whatever, but it's not just for that sake. So they look for the point of things. That's why, ladies, sometimes when you're explaining something to your husband, especially if it's something that he has to be concerned about, he likes it when you get to the point, because the men really, really are designed to see the point of things. Where is all this going? What do I have to do? What do I have to rescue or fix or save or protect or repair? He wants to know that right away. So in the Eastern churches, there's a very clear sign of the point of things. And that is that this is all about God, not about one another, not about anything else. It's about God. There's a heavy focus. We even pray ad orientem. The priest, the people, we face east. In other words, we're unidirectional. We're facing what is the point of all this. The point is God. It's not about everybody feeling good, everybody feeling like they get to play along. It's not about anything else except God. It's very, very clear. And his transcendence, his immanence too, but especially his transcendence. That's why the major icon in the Byzantine churches is Christ Pantocrator, all-powerful ruler, looming over the congregation. The icon is always up in the ceiling or the main central dome of the church. It's a powerful icon. Huge. It tells you right away, this is what this building and anything in it is about. It's about this God Almighty, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the righteous judge, and the lover of mankind. So that sense of transcendence, of the point of things, what has to be done, what are we all about, is also very strong in the Eastern churches, and it appeals to the male psycho-spiritual makeup. In other words, how men are hardwired. Another thing that men are attracted to is they want something to honor. They like to, and it goes back to this hierarchy, they like to know and they want to respect and give honor to the top dog or to the thing that really is of greatest dignity. You often see honor guards. Yes, there are women in honor guards today. However, by and large, look at, like, for example, in London, you know, those guards that stand like almost like statues, and sometimes people try to irritate them, and these men still stand there so perfectly. But if the person goes too far, those men will put you in their place, believe me. It's the honor guard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Men like to, in a sense, stand at attention to honor something greater than themselves. Because men, deep inside of them, they know that they become men by going up against being in the company of that which is greater than themselves. Because it causes them to strive harder, become more authentic men. So they honor that thing. So they get a strong sense that the Eastern Church, with all of its icons, its incense, the liturgy, is something that is of highest honor, of dignity. And therefore, we dress this way, we act this way, we step up and we treat this church, this liturgy, with honor because it exudes that. It exudes that it is greater than we are. And speaking of honor, that brings us to the next part of the hardwiring of men and why they may be attracted to the Eastern churches. Manhood is hardwired to honor especially womanhood, the dignity, the intrinsic dignity and holiness of womanhood, which is there. It's woven into womanhood. Every man knows deep in his manhood that womanhood has a certain dignity to it. Men instinctively, automatically do not want to harm womanhood. They want to protect it. They want to serve it. They want to make it happy. They want to present it, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, as a spotless bride without stain or wrinkle or anything of that sort, as the scripture says. That's really what men want to do. Now, the fact that maybe they don't do it does not mean they don't want to. It's because they're hurt or handicapped in some way psycho-spiritually, but that's a whole other story. But by and large, men are designed to want to honor womanhood. In other words, they need a kind of a princess. They need a queen mother. And men probably sense in the Eastern churches, because it's so rich with ritual and color and icons and incense, it's kind of very fussy in a sense. They sense a certain kind of queen mother. Yes, they know first and foremost it is God, as we said before, with the great Pantocrator icon. But there's also a character to it that has sort of a queen mother, a very honorable feminine kind of character to it, that the men feel called to step up and to respect and to protect and to give of themselves for in honor of that. So men also want to be very serious about this thing called prayer or worship with God. See, it comes a little more natural to women because they're more relational, but for men, it's more like wanting to kind of wrestle a bit with God. See, men tend to wrestle a bit with God. That's how men come to respect other men or their situations. Like you see, and we're in the football season now, I'm always struck at how at the end of football games, these guys are after like warriors just banging each other up, you know, just really smashing into each other. They're giving it their all. It's like they're at war out there. At the end of the game, as soon as the game is over, all that warlike intensity just goes away. And they're hugging each other and shaking each other's hands. It's like, gee, thank you for the big fight. Thank you for the opposition. It's like men tend to want to grow or develop by virtue of opposition. And that's the case with how men relate to God. And so the strong transcendence of God, you know, his awesomeness, also attracts men to the Eastern churches because they kind of want to wrestle with God. They want to kind of deal with something at somebody. They kind of want to deal with something or somebody that they know is greater than themselves, to go up against it. They don't come to God with as much heart or intuition as the women do. In other words, for men, church doesn't have to be nice. They don't mind having a God who is a righteous judge and the lover of mankind. They know his tenderness. But they like his awesomeness. They like his sense of being that transcendent one that they have to go up against. In fact, in the tradition of the church, especially all the way back to the Old Testament, you may recall, there was a different places in the design of the Old Testament temple, out of which eventually the Christian temple church came. But there was a place for women who tended to be in the back, and the men would go up front. And what was that saying? It was saying that to approach the awesome God could be dangerous. Just like when Moses wanted to see God, and God says, okay, I'll show you myself, but I won't show you my face. You cannot gaze directly at me, otherwise you'll just be destroyed. No human being can, because I am so mighty and great. So I will protect you when I walk by you. You'll see me, but not face to face. Well, that's kind of like how it is when men approach prayer, and how prayer is, in a sense, in the church. And this comes out in the Eastern churches, where you're approaching an awesome God. We even say, before people receive Holy Communion, the deacon or the priest will raise the chalice with the consecrated bread and wine, in other words, the real presence of the body and blood and soul divinity of Jesus Christ in that chalice. And the deacon or priest will raise it up to the congregation and say, approach with the fear of God and with faith. Now, does that mean we're supposed to be afraid of God, like he's mean? It doesn't mean a psychological fear. It means a psycho-spiritual awesome sense of awesomeness of what it is you're approaching. Not just anybody can come up here. Don't dare to come up here if you are not in the right state of grace, as we often say in the church. You don't have the right belief, the right attitude. You're not part of the community. In other words, you're not baptized or chrismated or accepted into the community of the faith. Don't dare approach this. That's right. There are certain things that are like that in this world, although that's part of the problem of the world today. And one of the reasons men are seeking that by going back to church. They know that there is some places, some instances in life where we are not to approach. We are not worthy. We don't go there. And one of those places, believe it or not, is the Eucharist. There are many other reasons that are attracting men to the Eastern churches. These are just a few, but they're worth really studying, so that we can magnify and amplify this wonderful growing phenomenon of men returning to church, East and West. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loyal on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Resources tab and on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Will-Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.